everyone out there. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elt.
And for those of you who are keeping track, the chaps were fine. We did notice some burrowing, but it was probably just mice, hopefully, and not a person. We don't know. So we duct taped the whole floor just to be safe. And then we put super glue on top of that. And then another layer of duct tape. So no one's getting through there.
Yeah, but now, now Emily thinks that it sounds cool with her tap dancing to tap dance on the duct tape super glue. So
I'm just going to talk about it. It's so cool. It's really like, I feel like I'm finding a new genre of dance. I feel like I'm inventing something.
She's impossible. Someone needs to let us out of this basement, except I stay in the basement forever. She's just going to have to be let out of the basement, I think, at what point.
I would like to be let out of the basement.
No, you must stay safe. That's what they say. Well, you have to stay safe.
Fine. Well, in that case, we might as well talk about another book, because other than tap dancing and singing, the other thing to do is read. I guess pretty much it.
And try out sound-canceling headphones. I mean, No, that's not what I was doing. These are our new headband. You could keep singing.
It looks super cute on you, by the way.
What?
Very good. You wanna tell us about the book?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so today we're going to talk about Strange the Dreamer, which is... It also has a duology. It is a duology of Muse of Nightmares. I've read both of them. I think Emily's only read the first one so far.
Well, that's because you just read the second one a couple days ago, and it's sitting in the... Okay, so we have a really cool setup. So as you remember, so we split the basement in half, but to pass things back and forth, we have this little, like, plexiglass thing, but it has to stay in the plexiglass thing for a full week before we can pass it. Just, you know, we're being safe, okay? So I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I think in 3 more days I can read it.
Yeah, well, maybe. We'll see. No promises, because just... We'll see what they come out with to see if it's safe at that point. I don't know. And, you know, maybe she just tries more of that tap dancing. I might remove it from the plexiglass and touch it and put it back in, and that's another week.
But
I'm not making any threats, because that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
Anyway.
On our violence scale, like between the two of us.
Oh, yeah, no. We are so everything. Our pearl clutching is all zero in the basement.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to the soundproof headphones. Anyway, so we're talking about Strange the Dreamer and Muse of Nightmares. They're by Lainey Taylor. If you've read any of her books, she also has another big trilogy that's The Daughter of Smoke and Bone. These two, if you've read the first series, then you realize that they take place not in the same world, but in the same universe, because she has this thing about there's all these parallel worlds that you could be traveling between. So this takes place in one of those worlds. You don't have to have read her first series to read this series. You will notice maybe one thing that connects them, but you're not really going to miss anything if you haven't read them both. And I don't even know how to describe this book, but the short version is you have this guy, his name is Laszlo Strange, okay? And he keeps seeing these visions of this city called Weep. And Weep is not the real name of the city, but everything about the city has been forgotten, and people think that the city is a myth. And he works as a librarian, and he tries to get his hands on any information about the place, but everyone basically thinks he's crazy for it. And eventually, there's all of a sudden this band of people come, and they are actually from the city of Weep. And he ends up going with them. This whole expedition goes to learn about this new place and all these things that happen when he's there. And he finds out that part of the thing is in the city, there was a time when these, I guess, gods or angels appeared, and it was on this massive, this blue metal stuff, and it's shaped now into a massive hand, and it's frozen as this big hand, and you still have some of these, like, god children who live up there, and everybody else lives under this hand, in the shadow of this hand, and bad relationship stuff going on between the god people and the people of Weep, and I don't know, it's a hard story to describe. I mean, it is and isn't at the same time. Partly because if you're familiar with Lainey Taylor's writing, she has very lyrical writing. So sometimes everything is just like this big long melody and you're not really sure what's going on, but you know that you're caught up in a melody. So some people like that about her writing, some people don't. Just to get to our pearl clutching ratings, violence is a 3, because there is some bad stuff going on there. Language is a one, really, and just more for like maturity content and like damn kind of stuff. There's not really anything bad. Language is okay. There's not really anything highly alerting. And then romance, we give a 3.5 to, which now I'll get into. So violence, Emily, you want to explain that one?
Yeah. So there's rape. There's a lot of references to rape.
Yeah.
There's also like fighting and something gets exploded and someone dies and someone gets impaled. So all of those things, but those things are sort of in context of, it's a fantasy novel and there's a little bit of a, it's not quite a, I guess it's a war like between these two races. So that stuff kind of, but the rape really bumps it up.
Yeah.
Because that's a pretty, once you get to that part of the book and realize that's what's going on, it's fairly central to the plot and the story, or at least to the story and the history of this place. So, and it's, all rape is bad. And I'm not saying that as a caveat. I'm just trying to explain why this, in this story, like, maybe just the way it's described, it just really was in crawly and pearl clutchy.
Yeah, and it's also, it was done very callously, and it just messes up like a whole generation of women, or maybe multiple generation of women in the way that it's done. She doesn't, there's no extra gore, even there is a person that's impaled, and that's a pretty sharp and clear image. She doesn't mince words, but she doesn't give any more words than needed to describe it. So she doesn't glorify the gore, and even the rape is not glorified. It's spoken about, but not described. But all this stuff is still going on. So that's a lot of pearls that, especially because it does give you kind of the heebie-jeebies when you're reading about it. So you definitely are clutching pearls on that one.
Yeah. Sort of like for the language, where, so the language itself, there isn't anything objectionable, but it's a mature story. Technically young adult, but the characters are a little bit older and the themes and situations are a little bit older. So it's just for a little bit of an older teens and then into actual, it's, you know, young adult is a very tricky thing because to me, like 19, 20, 21, from my perspective, is a young adult as opposed to a teenager. But of course the young adult genre is teenager. So anyway, it's more for like adults who are young.
Yeah. Also because like new adult, they're trying to make new adult a category, which is kind of for college age, but it ended up being right now, it's like a very heavy romance category. So I think a lot of people are not, until the category expands, until that demographic expands to actually include a wide range of novels, I think a lot of people don't necessarily want, don't think they're going to get enough of a readership if they call it new adult. So I do think they kind of cheated it a little bit to call these young adult, even though, like, I get it. Like, I guess you could just call it young adult, very strong adult crossover. I don't know that I would let young teenagers read it just because of the maturity level of it.
Yeah. But, like, but an older teen, I would feel comfortable with a 17-year-old, you know, the senior in college or senior in high school or something like that.
Yeah. And a lot of it also is the style of writing. Some people just really like Lainey Taylor. I think this is like an inborn talent, the way she writes so melodically, extremely lyrical. But a lot of people, I think, also can't handle it because she's just, it just, she doesn't feel like she's writing to the point. So if you want someone who's getting to the point, she's not, she's her, yeah, because her writing is just so, it's not flowery, but there is a lot of, it's not a clear cut path through the forest. Like it is. It does wander a little bit, and sometimes you're like, come on, just get to it already. I know people who couldn't really get through the book, and they didn't love the book so much because they just felt it was too out there. But at the same time, it is different than a lot of stuff that you'll see. So that's also a good thing.
Yeah. And I guess we should talk about the romance. I want to talk about the book itself, but just so we talk about the romance. So it's a 3.5. Because, well, partially the romance, once it starts, is a focal point of the story, and there is a reference to characters having sex, and there's also some other intimate goings on. Nothing she does is explicit, really. She's not, but it's there.
it's more descriptive than explicit, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's why it did bump up the romance. And you know that, especially Muse of Nightmares, it also keeps going. So it's not exactly a four, but it is kind of almost a four. Especially also because the descriptions are there. She does describe those scenes enough that it's not just something that happens in passing.
Yeah. And again, because it's sort of a maturer version of romance and talking about this thing. So it's like, we've talked about some other books where it's really teenagers talking about it. So they're fumbly and they're awkward in their words. But this one, it's not so fumbly and awkward. It's beautiful and it's lyrical, but it also feels just more mature.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's, to just say it's more mature is a good way of, describing it. Yeah.
But I did, so I think it took me a little bit to get into the book, but that might have just been a timing thing. You know, it's, you know, Esther Leigh had talked about the book, and then all of a sudden, you know, I have to wait a week to read it because it's in this chamber. And so by that time, I had sort of fallen out of it. But once I actually got into it, I couldn't put it down. There was something about it, I guess the lyrical language, but it almost, it's fantasy, but it's, and I've read a lot of fantasy, but it sort of feels like nothing I've ever read before. Her concepts are really unique. And
yeah,
the world that she's created, she creates a really full world without feeling like she's creating a world. Like, you don't have to have chapters and chapters of world building. It happens very organically, I felt. It really felt like I was reading something new and exciting, and I couldn't put it down.
Yeah. That's also as compared to, okay, we're not going to talk about it so much now, but The Daughter of Smoke and Bone, which a lot of it does take place in our world and also another world. You could definitely tell that her writing's gotten stronger, and her hold on world building and developing aspects of the world building is definitely much stronger in these books. So definitely, if you're looking for something that's different, and again, something that the writing style is going to be very different than what you're used to, I would even tell you to go with this duology before her original trilogy. You see her in the original trilogy. You do see that there, but she cheats at certain things in the original book that I didn't feel like those kinds of cheats were happening in this series.
Yeah. Well, good thing you gave me these ones to read first instead of the other ones, which, if I'm doing my math correctly, and I'm probably not, because I'm not very good at math. Look, I'm a performer, okay? So tap dancing and singing and duct taping the floor are my pursuits, and then math not so much, but anyway.
She only knows how many minutes there are in a year, because that's from the song from Rent.
525,600 minutes, 525,000 journeys to plan. Ooh, we're gonna have to talk about Rent sometime.
Okay, we can add Rent to the list sometime.
Yay! That maybe doesn't exactly properly express how I feel about that musical. But I am excited to talk about it.
You got to get a lot of pearls ready for that musical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. For sure. You might have to go to the pearl store. Yeah.
That's not a promo for anyone, because they didn't sponsor us yet. So we can't say which pearl store yet.
No.
We can't. We're not allowed to yet.
When and if they decide to, ahem, mother, actually support us like we've asked, then maybe we can actually, ahem, mother, give a shout out to a certain pearl store and beading store, and maybe you'll get some more customers. But whatever, that's not in our hands. That's just the podcast biz, folks.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, there appears to be a little bit of a, I just hear sound coming from our little chamber where the book's coming from. So I don't know if that means air's escaping or air's going in. But either way, I really want to read the sequel. And if there's some contact, then I'm going to have to wait longer. So I'm going to go patch that up. We have more duct tape, right?
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to go. It's in our other plexiglass. So we have to see what the time meter on that reads.
Oh, no.
I know.
We can figure this out. Okay, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Stay safe in your basements, folks, or wherever you are.
Yeah, stay safe, everyone.
Yeah.
In your place. Bye. Bye.